Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, I know I'm ready. I know we ready. We ready for a change from these last two damn weeks.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just like that part there. Ooh.
I would just think every Sunday at 1, 4, 8:15 or Monday night, whatever time you start, you'd be ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
You only get 17 of them.
Only 17. Only 17 guaranteed.
I also think they were ready on Sunday. I just think things went wrong and they went wrong quickly. But we'll see what Dave Archer thinks about it as he joins us on Wednesdays at this time. As always, brought to you by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Always good to be on with you guys. You know, I don't know what it is about coming on with you guys. Well, I do know music, which is cool, but it always feels like we're just sitting in an Adirondack chair, drinking some cold drink, or maybe Andy and Randy, both you guys give off the vibe, but we're drinking a cool beer or having a rum drink right now, and there's nothing to worry about.
Dude, that's the whole vibe we're trying to put out
there. Man.
I got two Adirondack chairs on my front porch right now.
Yeah.
We'll be there this afternoon drinking something. Probably.
Yeah, no kidding.
Probably hot tea, given the way that I feel, but nonetheless. If you could fix one thing, like wave a magic wand and fix one thing about how this football team played Sunday, and maybe even take it back to the San Francisco game as well, that you think is going to lead to other things improving as well, what's the number one fix?
Wow, it's really a deep question, Andy. I'm grasping at like several different things here. Fix one thing. I think maybe the dysfunction, just the actual dysfunction that we saw on offense, whether it was my receiver doesn't know where to go when I check a play, or that Charlie Warner comes in motion and doesn't trip and fall down and get up on the linebacker. We're on the right run tracks. On fourth and four, I'm not trying to throw a fade route against a 6-2 corner. I'm working the three receiver side on a rub route to extend the drive. Just the dysfunction. Let's get rid of the dysfunction. Just operate and execute properly.
Dave, when you look at defensively for where the Falcons are right now, we know they don't have a lot of girth in the middle of that defense. But, yeah. You know, their motto when we spoke to them this summer was, you know, play the run on the way to the quarterback and things like that. How valuable has it – no, I'm sorry. Let me take back. What have you seen since Diablo's been out, Dave? What do they have to adjust with not having him in the game?
Yeah, I think that even with him in the game, Andy or Randy, if you go back, to the Buffalo game. Remember, Buffalo got some footing in that second half, in that first drive of the second half. We talked about it on your guys' show a few weeks ago. Why did Buffalo go away from it? I think the next time they touched the ball, they threw it three straight times, you know, and they had that nice run. I think that Tampa got a little bit of run game going in that game, even though they only had 290 yards of offense. They got a little something going run game-wise. I think that you got to get back to doing what it is you said you were going to do, is attack the field or attack whoever you're playing on your way to the quarterback. I haven't seen that certainly in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we're catching a lot. You know what that you know what I'm talking about? It seems like we're catching blocks as opposed to penetrating, getting upfield and disrupting. It's been more of let's catch, let's kind of read and react, and that's not what this defense is. Not a two-gap defense. It's a pick your gap and blow through it. And I think we've kind of gotten to where we're catching blocks as opposed to blowing through blocks.
Arch, I wanted to go back to that dysfunction word that you used about the fix. Because, yeah, I mean, we saw that for sure. Do you think that that's more attributable to kind of who wasn't out there? I mean, you're playing a backup quarterback. Drake London wasn't playing. Or is there more to it than that in terms of trying to get that fixed?
Well, there is certainly part of it was that. I mean, I thought Kirk had a really poor game. I thought that what he was supposed to be seeing, he wasn't seeing. I think, and if a 13 or 14 year veteran can get rattled, I thought he got a little rattled early in the game. Remember the first series of downs, they stone the run twice, and then they come with a 3-man stunt off his left side. Linebacker comes clean and hits him right in the mouth as he dumps the ball to Pitts in the right flat. I didn't think he was right the rest of the game. I just thought that it was really quickly he was off balance. His eyes weren't going the right places. Wasn't seeing things pre-snap. He checked to a play. The play where he and Sills are not on the same page, he checks to a zone buster play, and they're playing man coverage. And Sills didn't get the check, first of all, so he runs right. His man adjustment, which is what he's supposed to do against man coverage, and Kirk throws the curl route against zone. So, yeah, that was it didn't feel right away for him. So getting back to your original question, I think there was a myriad of things that were going on. Some of it had to do with the new people in the game. I didn't think that we play, and Raheem said this, I think the offensive line, I talked to Chris Lindstrom on Monday on the coaches show, our player spotlight, and he completely fell on his sword. He said, hey, we were bad up front. We didn't get things done up front. And I think that carries to, I think people just think the five guys up front, Charlie Warner's a big part of what they do in the run game. And yes. I thought Charlie had one of his poorer games mm-hmm. of the year as well. Right. So I think there was a lot of guys you could kind of point to, and you're going to go ahead and include the play caller in there as well. It's not just the players. I mean, if we're struggling with something, let's find a way to get to something else or find something we can hang our hat on that kind of gets us going from a momentum standpoint. So everybody was culpable.
Nate, was it just a matter of them not having enough plays last week to get that run game going?
Yeah, I mean, you ran 17 plays in the first half, right. And you know as well as I do, to try to establish the run game, it's kind of difficult. If you ran the ball 9 times, you ran the ball more than half the time you had the football, you know, and so that's kind of hard to kind of – but I think that, you know, in that second drive of the second half where you had something going, it was 17-3, you're driving, you get the screen to Bijan out in the flat, he gets 17 on the screen, you go back to the run game, and actually Bijan's up the field in the run game, he's in the second level, and unfortunately, he knocks the ball out of his own hand with his knee, the ball's on the ground, you're driving to potentially make that a 17-10 game. Does that change the dynamic of the game? I mean, Miami seemed to be kind of moving pretty well, but does that change the game a little bit now? So it's 17-10, and all of a sudden you're thinking a little bit different about yourself. But to get back to your original piece there, 49 plays of really run play, or actually plays from scrimmage, you got down 24-3 after that fumble by Bijan. You had to kind of leave the run game in the dust.
Hey, Dave, what do you do if you're the Falcons defensively at that linebacker spot? Because, I mean, it's no secret that Bertrand had a rough game. And obviously he doesn't play a lot, not really a starter in this league. But do you think they go to a situation where if he's healthy they can move Jalen back there or somebody else possibly? Because we know this is a copycat league, and we know Josh McDaniels is one of the best coordinators in ball. We're going to find a way to keep this guy on the field. If he's in on regular defense, we're going to be in regular offense. Like, what do you think you do in a situation like that?
Well, the biggest problem is if Jalen's healthy to go, let's cross our fingers and hope he is, because he can really help us on the edge against the run game, let alone at the second level. Yeah. But he hasn't played any second level stuff since he's been here.
Right.
So how instinctual is he going to be? Because what I'm seeing with JD is not necessarily – there's a little bit of a lack of, you know, we've been so accustomed to what Devine's done in the first 7 games of the year or whatever it was, 6.5 games of the year before he got hurt with his athleticism. And so it's better than JD's athleticism. But it's also, you've got a young linebacker that's still learning and reacting. How much better will JD be in this game than he was the last game just because of what he saw? Is he going to read and react faster? Yes, there's still the limitations from an athletic standpoint. Other than that, there's not anybody else. You're going to have to sprinkle guys in, like what they did with Ronnie Harrison, 6'2", 215-pound former safety. You're going to play him in there. I mean, you're trying to stop the run. That's a little, you're a little light in the ass to be doing that with a safety. And then do you put Josh, you know, Josh Woods was pretty good in the preseason. I thought he adapted to what Ulbrich wanted to do, albeit, you know, we didn't do a lot defensively, but he brings a little bit more punch to the table. And he's a guy that's a kind of a kamikaze type of guy because he plays special teams. Would Josh Woods be a guy that you would put in that situation? But I think it's going to have to be a committee of guys that play it for Divine Diablo's absence.
Hey, Arch, I know we're going to kind of get more on this as the week goes on, but it was a sort of a weird developing week last week with Penix's injury. Him kind of limited, and then he was out there Friday, still limited, saw some video where he looked good, and then there was a report Saturday, and then we find out Sunday he's not going. Where do you feel like he and London and some of the rest of the guys that didn't play last weekend are going into this one?
Well, I was stunned, Danny, that Drake didn't go. I knew that he had gotten, there was a little bit of something going on Saturday, but when they declared he wasn't going to play, I was a little stunned by that. I don't know that Kirk Cousins wasn't a little bit surprised by that as well, but I think from those guys' perspective and the importance of where you are in the season, you know, the whole you need to go get one on the road against a really good team, a team that's playing hot. You're going to need all hands on deck. I would be surprised if Drake doesn't play. I think they'll test Michael today. Now, the problem is, and Randy will tell you, you know, when you get knees and ankles and you have to go on the AstroTurf or the synthetic turf, that's not the best thing for you. You'd like to be practicing outside on grass, but they're probably going to have to go inside today.
Right.
How much strain does that put on a bone bruise in his knee? But I think they'll test him today to see what he's got. Probably a limited. You'll probably see a designation of limited, but he'll go out and try it. And then, as Randy will tell you, what does it feel like the next day, right, Randy? How do you feel the next day? Yeah, how do you feel the next day? And I think that's what you're going to get on a couple of these guys. But I think ultimately Drake plays. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go. And in all honesty, I'd be surprised if Penix doesn't go either, but I think they'll try him out.
Tell us about these Patriots, David. We all know the young quarterbacks playing really well. They're really well coached by Vrabel. We talked about McDaniels. What's going on with this squad?
Oh, my God. They're playing at a high level. And you know as well as I do, when you get the confidence, it takes you to another level as far as your play goes. I mean, you can have good design and good players, but when you start making it happen on the field, it comes to life, which is what it's doing for Drake May. And I think that the thing that you're most concerned about with Drake May, certainly throwing the football down the field, and Josh McDaniels is using different personnel groups, whether it's 21 or 12 personnel. He'll even throw three tight ends in there and try to come off the ball and run it at you, is Drake May's athleticism, which I think got grossly underrated by a lot of the media. I mean, the dude's breaking people down. When things aren't right, he's out of the pocket. They're not designing any run plays for him. He's just taken off. And I think that I'd like to see our guy do that. Once Penix gets healthy, I'd like to see him attack the game physically like Drake May's attacking it.
Arch, we appreciate it. As always, thank you.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Great to talk to you guys. Y'all take care.
Dave Archer there, Falcons Radio Radio Network analyst, former quarterback as well, joins us on Wednesdays at this time. Every single week, a lot of great stuff. I mean, I didn't, you know, you always ask questions, you don't know what he's going to say, right? I had no idea what he was going to say about number one fix. I would have guessed he would have said something about the run game. Like, yeah, stop being so damn dysfunctional.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the right answer. Yep. Stop checking to the wrong stuff, falling down when you're going in motion.
And he's right. And you know how I love me some Charlie Warner. He did not play well.
Yeah.
He did not play well.
If he doesn't play well, the run game's going to struggle.
Yeah, and he did not play well. And neither did the guys up front. That's why I told you, if you see me a dork stat about some damn grade, go kick damn rocks. But I think, you know, the biggest thing with them is it's one of those things where you're when you have a performance like that, you're in a rush to get back.
Yeah.
You're in a rush to get back in that damn building. You really, really are. And it's going to be vital whether you get your quarterback back. I know some quotes are coming out of up at Flowery Branch, and Dukes and Bell will be up there today. Michael Penix still is day-to-day, according to Raheem.
Okay.
They're going to go through the walkthrough and all those different things. But what Dave said is more important because it's raining. And so they're going to be in the indoor facility, and so you don't want to do a lot with them. And, you know, you want to obviously want to try to get them reps and everything. But, I mean, when you're on that turf, and I've had a bone bruise in the knee, it sucks. But at the same time, it's just all about the pain management and how it feels the next day. Obviously, they're not going to put too much strain on him today to try to see maybe on Friday, see if he can be more of a full go on that day.
That's what was weird about last week.
Because what you're telling me is like this, like y'all were kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Well, not shocked.
They played it pretty close to the vest, which you're always going to do with a quarterback.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, with Penix, by the, because they, you know how they do their week now. Like, yeah. Wednesday was like a not really a practice,
right?
So he was a, what do they call it? Like, he would have been limited if they would have practiced, right. but right. they didn't really. But then I saw a video of him out there practicing on Friday. He looked fine. Right. I mean, it's a video from practice, so what does it really tell you? But he looked fine. And then you get the Schefter thing on Saturday that was like, yeah, it's actually they're leaning towards Cousins. And then by the time we hit the air on Sunday at 9 a.m., we knew Cousins was going to be. And then the weird thing was Drake. Yeah. It was like, we didn't hear anything about Drake. I guess he was a limited participant on Friday in practice. We didn't hear anything about it. Yeah. And by the time Sunday came around, they were going to work him out in the stadium to see if he could go. Ultimately, he couldn't go.
Yep.
And now you don't have Penix or Drake London against the Miami Dolphins, and it certainly looked like it.
Yeah, I'm sure it did, dog. Hey, guys, this Saturday from noon to 2, join our gal Ally Mack at Luso Kia in Cummings. She gets you ready for the big game on Sunday.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Day one lucky fan, obviously won the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with the rolling stand. There'll be other prizes and another winner-take-all home tickets for an upcoming home game. Again, that's this Saturday, noon to 2 at Lusob Kia. Incoming with our gal, Ally Mack.
Hey, that first hour of radio was brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll take a break, come back, get to an NFL no huddle. Pretty good payday for a pass rusher in the NFC. We'll tell you about all that money coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.